Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 31. Here with Paul Pinto Jr., Derek from Malden Sr., and Chris Epp from Make Everything. How are you guys doing this week?
I thought we were going to get a snow day today, all the snow we have outside. It's so exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So exciting. All right. How excited are you to snow blow tonight?
Well, it's so funny. How unexcited are you? Do you have snow where you are?
Yes, I do. But all my snow machines are currently running.
All eight.
Oh, wow.
Of them?
How many do you have?
All eight of them are currently running. No. So I can kick this off. I learned a really valuable lesson about the snow machine. So, and Paul, I probably have one that, I mean, if you wanted, you could just come and take it.
Kind of need one.
Take two.
Yeah. Fuck it. So I spent last Sunday working on my snowblower, two snowblowers all day, fought with them. And I don't know if I mentioned the gasoline thing last week.
I was going to say, take
gas. No. So, all right. I always, you know, I put a little bit of fuel in them because I'm like, I don't want to have to empty the tank, whatever. And they would run and then they would stall. Run and they'd run for a minute, then they'd stall. And Lucas, man-made in MA, is a small engine mechanic, you know, kind of part-time at his job. He's like, dude, how much gas do you have in there? I'm like, enough. It's gas. Like, you put some in the gas tank and it runs. It gets what it wants. I wasn't putting enough fuel in the tank, and it was creating like a siphon effect where there would be a small blip where no gas would get into the carb. So both machines I screwed around with all day. Finally, I dumped a whole gallon
of gas. Bastard.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even about being cheap. It was just like, Derek, you ever work on something? Yeah. You ever work on something and then have to empty a whole gas can?
Oh, why? Because you're working on it?
Yeah, and then like... So, like, I've done motorcycles where you'll fill the gas tank, and then you'll be working on it, and then you'll have to empty the gas tank and then fill it again. And the next thing you know, you've wasted all your fuel. Anyway, one of the main problems I was having was I didn't have enough fuel in the tank.
Oh,
I wound up filling both of them up, and they both are running completely perfect. And, yeah, I'm not that upset about having to do my driveway now.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I try to use that True Fuel. And it's always sold out. Yeah, it's expensive, but I mean, I have a big driveway, but it's not like I go through three tanks of gas doing it, so it's not bad to buy. But anyways, I was gonna see if I needed some gas yesterday. I open up the cover and I look in, and the fill thing isn't on the bottom of the tank, the like where the carburetor sucks the gas in.
Okay.
So I'm like saying, if I'm down to like an eighth of a tank or something like that, it's going to be out of gas. But
yeah.
If I look in there, there's going to be plenty of gas, like a half inch of gas in there. And I get it. They have a filter in there so it doesn't suck the shit off the bottom.
Mm.
But it's like, put an inline filter and let it suck all the gas out. You know what
I mean?
Because that's going to be more annoying having it, you know, run out of gas with still gas in it, you know? But I'm looking forward to it too, because I'll be honest, I used... the snowblower, and I can't remember when we talked last, but I was pissed because it did a horrible job. It wouldn't work.
And the new one?
Yeah. The problem was, I found out after the fact, the share pin had broke. And I don't know if it was broke all along, but we had like really, really wet snow.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't throwing it. And I told you about my little hack. I I riveted the rubber to the impeller on my old one, so it would work great with slush. So I was like, this thing's a piece of shit. I was so pissed. I was going to go to my neighbor, take my old one, and give him the new one and say, yeah, I want my old one back. But I think that's what it was. The shear pin had broken, and I wasn't aware of it. I don't think I broke it. I might have. I didn't hit anything. There's nothing to hit. But who knows? Maybe something was under the snow that caught it, and it broke. So I am looking forward. We got, you know, last time they said we're getting 18 inches. We got, like, 3. We probably have, like, 8 inches out there now. So it'll be a good little test to see how it works.
Yeah, I broke the shear pin on last weekend, last Monday, when I was doing my yard. And, of course, I didn't have one. And then I went.
I have probably 20.
So I didn't have any. So now I'm putting finishing nails. I put finish nails in there, bent them over. Those work for a little while. Yeah. And then eventually I found like a big railroad spike. So it's weird. It's a 30 or a 32 inch snowblower, but the shear pins are quarter inch shear pins instead of the kind of bigger ones.
What are they made out of? Steel?
They're grade 2 steel, and they're scored so that when the auger gets jammed, they snap.
Like a T-shirt bolt.
Yeah, and you know, I would say 50%, if not more, of the snowblowers out there have like a coat hanger in there, like a nail. Because if you put a regular bolt, you can blow the transmission.
Yeah, because it won't break, right?
So I put everything I could find in there. I mean, you know, in the snow, soaking wet, trying to get. Yeah. So then I finally, like the Tuesday after the snowstorm, I go to the hardware store to buy shear pins. I'm assuming, you know, I need like the big ones, right? Because it's a big ass snowblower. Yeah. I didn't even look at it. Not even close. So then today in the shop, I grabbed some quarter inch bolts and I ground just like on the lathe. I just ground some little grooves in them. And I have like 6 of those, so hopefully tonight when I'm snow blowing, they don't blow the machine apart. I don't know. The snow's pretty light today here, so
yeah. Well, I tell you, it will. If you do use a regular bolt, it will ruin the transmission because I did that.
Yeah.
And it was just stupid. I had just gotten it, and so this was, you know, I bought it when I bought this house 25 years ago. I was, you know, still dumb, but I was dumber back then, and I didn't know. I was like, screw it, I'm just putting a regular bolt in it. And I did, and it blew apart the transmission, and for years it sat because it was going to be like $700 to fix it. And that's how I acquired,
might as well get a whole new one,
two of them. Yeah, well, I paid like $1,300 for it. It was
like
a big
half.
One.
Wow.
Yeah, so I ended up getting another one used, and I just used that and kept this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 10 years ago, maybe like 8 years ago, whatever it was, a buddy of mine, he fixes snowblowers, and he's like, dude, it's easy enough to fix. I'll get you the parts. So he got me all the parts, and, you know, it was like $180, and I ended up fixing it myself. And it was a good, like, lesson because I had to, you know, have to break the machine in half and, you know, take the whole thing apart to change it. And I knew everything about that machine. Like, I knew how it worked. Like, I had no idea how it worked before.
Yeah.
And it just... it was nice to know, because then when I did have a couple issues with it, I was like, oh, it's just got to be this because it does this. Like, it wouldn't go forward one time, and it was just, you know, it needed to be adjusted because of
the pressure plate.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, like that type of shit, you know.
Yeah.
So it was good to know. That's why I'm a little nervous. This new one, it has like a weird transmission. So the tires both turn forward, but if you turn the machine, they will, like, they stop turning together, like something happens to it. So it's not powered. Only one will stay powered. I don't know how it does it, how it knows it, but it's.
Wonder
easy
if there's
to
like
turn.
A clutch or something in there that notices.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. But I'm like, you know what? I'm getting to be the age where I'll call like Lucas and say, Lucas, I got a job for you.
I know, right? That's like it's funny because, you know, what did I last week? I think I said, like, as soon as this winter's over, I'm buying all new machines because I just, or I'm going to buy at least one nice new machine. Uh-huh. But it's like, so now, of course, the two machines I have, both of them have a bad seal around the bottom of the carburetor, and I ordered new seals. I could actually see a little bit of fuel bubbling out, so there's like possibility for an air leak there. But now that they both work, I'm like, you know, they're both kind of shitty. So, like, if I sell one, if I, let's say, like, the spring comes and I sell them both, somebody's going to just inherit all my problems. I'm going to feel like a dick, you know, like, selling these snowblowers that somebody's going to, like,
tell
you know,
them.
They're
like, listen, they need a little bit of work.
Or it's like, you know, do I just keep the one that I have, which literally I probably ran it on Monday for 2 hours straight, and it was just cranking. It was like working so good. But, you know, I don't know. I've never changed the oil in any of them. Lucas is like, Lucas tells me I'm out of my mind. He's got people that come in twice a season changing their oil. He does a whole service, you know, cleans them up, makes them perfect. I'm like, dude, never change the oil in any of them. They all just run. I said, I'm waiting for a connecting rod to just come shooting out of the side. I'm going to hear a noise, and it's going to be like, it's going to like go through the like window of my truck. I'm going to be like snow blowing next to the van, and a freaking piston ring is going to blow out, and the rod's going to hit my vehicle.
The one I gave my neighbor, honestly, I don't think I probably did change oil on that thing at least once, but it definitely has the original spark plug because I could never get it out of it. It was like recessed in there, and I don't know how that works, but every spark plug thing I've ever had has never fit a spark plug I've ever needed to take. So I don't know which ones they go to. But I've never been able to get the spark plug. I've tried, like, needle-nose plies. One time I'm like, I'm going to break this thing, and it works fine. Like, just leave it.
Yeah, why touch it? Exactly. So, that's fun. Like Lucas was giving me tips last week, and he was like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. I'm like, I'm not doing any of that. I'm like, I just need to – the thing just has to work for, like, one day. But it's funny. I used to buy and sell a lot of those, like, little 50cc mopeds, and I never had the right spark plug socket with me, because you go to these like little motors, and I would always check the heads before I'd buy them. And then one day I went to AutoZone, and I'm like, hey, I need the spark plug socket. He's like, which one? I was like, all of them. I was like, every different one you have, there's like four different ones, different lengths, and I'm like, I want one of each. And I put them in a little toolbox, and I was like, I'm never not having this with me, because whatever I need, I don't have. So annoying.
So
annoying. So anyway, enough about snowblowers. You guys get any cool new tools this week? Derek, what'd you get this week?
I did. It's funny. So my new cool tool, somebody sent me a message. They like, I didn't know that was your thing. It's okay, but I'm like, geez, I got a sawing machine.
Oh, God.
And it was like, I didn't know. It's funny because...
He's the same person that thinks, like, what, only women are allowed to sew and they also can't vote?
Oh, is that what he was saying?
It was just funny because I commented on this a long time ago. There's a guy I talk to once in a while on Instagram. He's on YouTube, guy Alexander Dyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mentioned him a couple times on my stories before, a year ago. He made sewing so cool. You know, Jimmy too. Jimmy does a lot of cool stuff, and it's funny because talking to him, he's inspired by a lot of Jimmy's stuff. But like, this guy just does some really, really neat projects. Like, he takes these old canvas, like basically tops, like the guys would get in the Navy back in World War II, and they're like filthy, rotten, dirty, like just from being, you know, however many years old.
80 years old.
And he'll make like handbags out of them and stuff, and he doesn't clean them, and they're just so cool looking, you know. He does some amazing stuff, but I don't know what he does for his main gig, but he, like, I think he buys and sells sewing machines. Either that or he's like you and he has a million sewing machines. But he gets like these crazy...
He's just sick.
He gets these
crazy just needs help.
Sewing machines. And like, he'll showcase them and talk about them and show you like different features and stuff like that. But the one I got, it was a real heavy-duty cylinder arm. And if you don't know what that does, it allows you to like reach into like bags and... You know, you can basically slip things over the arm of the sewing machine. So,
reach around.
It gives you the old reach around. And it basically will sew this one up to like an inch of leather. So it's just real strong. Yeah. Yeah, it's real strong, and it's just, it's unbelievable.
Is it slow? Because I know, like, I had a heavy-duty sewing machine, right? And I sold it, and I literally told the lady. I was like... The lady was like, oh, yeah. I was like, do you know how to use these? She was like, yeah, a little bit. I said, all right, I'm just going to tell you now. Like, this thing scared the shit out of me. Yeah. I literally wound up putting a wooden block in the foot pedal so I could only push it down like an eighth of an inch. Because, Paul, dude, this thing would be so fast. You blink and you'd be through 2 feet of material.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, shoo.
Yeah.
And it's made to be fast so that you can sew a pair of pants.
Probably, right?
Yeah. Like, you know, you can't spend all day making like a shirt, but not for a normal human.
So a lot of those industrial sewing machines, like just like you said, they're from factories and it's like fast is better. So it's just like pedal to the metal and it goes for a million miles an hour. So what I did with mine, I buy servo motors for them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize this. Somebody was just saying online, there's DC servo motors are better. I don't know what the difference is. I think they don't have a brake in them, mm-hmm. so they're a little bit easier to maneuver when you're like just manually stitching. But if you take the old ones out with the clutches, those things, they're just so loud to begin with, and because the motor's constantly going. And then when you touch the pedal, it just takes off, you know. But I changed to the servo motor, and I was still having issues. But with the servo, you can adjust it from like 800 to 3600. So I had it as low as it'll go, and it was still out of control. And I was talking to him, and he was saying that's the problem. He goes, you need to turn the speed up, so when you're on low, it's just a small percentage of that big number. It has a bigger range, you know, because you know, like one is 10% as opposed to whatever. So I did that, and this one, literally, you can press it down all the way and it will go just like the industrial, fast as it can go. Or you know, just, you could literally have it go one stitch like a second, like ding, ding.
That's nice.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable just to do that. So
that's what I've always wanted, that slow, like, one stitch at a time. That's what's nice about the shitty hand crank one, is that it's very controlled. I mean, like, it's as fast as you can turn it. I put a motor on mine, but, like, that's probably the best part of that machine, is that you can just get your stitches in one at a time, and you're not going to be like, oh, cool, I spent 2 hours cutting out and prepping this leather, you know, thing, and as soon as that needle punches through the leather, if it's not where it belongs, it's trash. So it's like, it's kind of nice to just be able to, like, go nice and slow and do it.
So
that's really exciting, though.
So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to using it. And it's funny because I got a couple things I'm supposed to finish this weekend, and I'm like, I have to finish them. And then, like, all day I'm upstairs, and Christina, you know, people don't know my wife, she's like, are you going downstairs today? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go down in a minute, you know. So now it's like I'm spending time up there, but I have to, you know, put it aside for now and finish the things I'm working on down here, because a couple of them are time sensitive. So
what kind of stuff are you going to make with it? What are you going to sell?
Well, I was telling somebody the first thing I'm going to make is a sheath for the knife I have. I forget what kind they call it, the round one. I think it's like a head knife or whatever. The thing is so sharp, I'm going to cut my hand on that. So I'm going to make that.
Yeah, it looks like a butcher's tool.
Oh, yeah. So
that thing's scary.
I'm going to try a couple. I want to make, not that they're useful nowadays, but passport holders, you know, stuff like that for now.
How
just
about a nice
wallet,
not
small
a,
stuff.
A passport holder?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, because nobody's traveling, you know. But eventually wallets and stuff like that. But
make
you know,
a passport holder and sew the top of it shut so that you can't get the passport out.
Yeah, passport holder is nice. It's easy because it's very basic. Not a lot of little inside parts and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, a wallet's
know,
got
so.
A lot of...
So you gotta, you know, gotta
once
work
you start
it,
making wallets,
step.
I'll commission you to make a nice wallet,
like rhinoceros skin or something.
My
like
wallet
that,
is
something.
Everything
skin?
Is getting melted because it's getting hit with so much rubbing alcohol. I looked at my credit card. Like, shit's,
I thought you were gonna say I thought you were gonna say like weld spatters.
No, no, no. My keys on my car keys. The freaking. You know,
the rubber
lock
over
and
mold.
Unlock.
Yep.
The rubber is coming off. Like, you can't see which button's which. I look on the back of my license because, like, our address changed and you have to get the sticker for the back of the license. Yeah. And then the address is gone because the alcohol seeps in. The credit cards are getting faded. It's like just.
So what does she just, like, clean everything all the time?
Well, the keys in the
she's
wallet,
gonna,
those
she's
are
gonna
major.
Be devastated for this vaccine. This vaccine's got to crush her.
Originally, she
how
was
does
like,
she feel about the vaccine?
Originally, she was it. Like, I'm not getting the vaccine. And we're like, what are you, stupid? Like, we're all going to get the vaccine. You're not going to get it. And she's like, yeah, I guess you're right. So she's like, yeah, I'm going to get it. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Good idea. Like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I don't
it's
know.
It's crazy. I know some people that can't wait for it. And Angela's already got it. So whatever's going to happen to her, she's got it. And Christina got hers.
Yeah,
there?
Christina got it. Yeah.
Has anyone heard of any problems coming up so far? Because it's been a month or two of vaccine doses, and everyone still seems to be alive.
I don't know. We were out to dinner with some of Angela's friends, and one of them, was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about the vaccine because, like, I want to get pregnant and, you know, who knows what it's going to do.
Yeah, that's different. My wife was... Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, there is...
If she was a nurse, I would have her get
it. I just have a hard time thinking that whatever is in that vaccine, it's like a you know, what could it be? It's like a quarter of an eighth of a gram of material. I mean, obviously it's doing something.
That's what me and my mom were talking about.
I can't imagine that it does enough that it's going to be like my kid's going to come out with like 1.5 arms and like no lips. You know, like, whatever.
Give her some thalidomide, see what happens to the kid.
What's that?
That's from kids from my generation that have like 3 fingers and stuff. They call them like I don't know how you say it. Thalidomide babies.
Okay.
Yeah. What the hell? What is it? What is thalidomide?
It was a drug they gave women that was safe. I forget what it was for.
But was it a prolonged drug or did you get it like once? Like, was it something that women were taking like every day? I mean, like that I get. Like now there's the thing about Zantac, right? The, what's that, an antacid that people got cancer from Zantac because you could just take it or whatever it was.
Thalidomide was for leprosy. I'm sure they were giving it for something.
So it went from leprosy.
Yeah.
But I mean, like,
I don't know.
You know, I love the memes that are like, I'll take a random pill from a guy on the street, but I'm not getting the vaccine.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You'll do cocaine that came from a jungle lab in Colombia.
Yeah, they're making it with gasoline and acetone.
And diesel fuel.
Yeah, and they're cutting it with fentanyl.
And you'll do it all day. The same people that'll do that shit.
Yeah,
do or the same guys that'll go and take steroids they got from some dude in the gym.
Won't
take the vaccine.
Yeah.
My thing is, if I was a young girl, like in my mid 20s, and I wanted to have kids, and I was healthy. I get it. Just because
I could understand that.
My benefit, like me personally, I have a few health issues, so I'm willing to take the chance if there was a chance. But my thing is, if I was healthy and I wasn't going to die if I got it and I was going to have kids, I'd be like, I'd hold off. Like, it all depends. If I was a nurse, maybe I would. But if I was working, wherever, low risk, maybe I would. Because once enough other people get it, you don't have to worry about if you're getting it. You know what? That's wait till you get your electric bill on that thing.
Oh, I know. I'm really bad at paying my utility bills. I wait till the shutoff notices like come in the mail and then I pay them all at once. So Angela like looked over my shoulder and she saw that I had paid it was like a $250 electrical bill for the house. She's like, oh my God, it's so much money. I'm like, yeah, I haven't paid since like October, so it's fine. Like, it's not a big deal.
So I can't remember the last time we talked when I had this conversation with who, but did I tell you my last electric bill?
No.
No.
My last electric bill was $680.
For the month?
Is that for the whole house or just for your house?
For my apartment, $680.
Oh my God. Right? CNC time, baby.
No. So I'm like, that's crazy. I says, there's no way my electric bill is $680. So I'm going, of course, I got to flip out on everybody and scream it back. So
good,
even
good
the
thing
lights
your,
on.
Good thing your daughter moved out.
Oh, God, yep. So I'm like out of my mind. I shut everything down, and I'm telling everybody who listens to me, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. So first I thought maybe a bill had crossed with a check, but I do online every month automatic. So I looked last month, and I had paid $350 because it's usually like mid to high threes, which I still think is a lot. It should be about $160.
Yeah.
So last month it was $500 and something, and I only paid $350. So it was like $190 carried over. So this past month though, my electric bill was still $500. It was $499, right? So I'm telling this guy about it, and he's like, what kind of heat? Do you have electric heat? Nope. Right before I hung up with him, he goes, yeah, the same thing happened to me with one of those electric space heaters. And I hung up the phone, and I said, shit, we just bought an electric space heater right around Thanksgiving because the living room has been cold because I haven't been using my wood stove because I got to get my chimney cleaned. And so I said to Christina, I says, Forget your electric heat on.
Cut the cord on that thing, baby.
So I looked it up. It was 1,500 watt electric heater. And you think about it. Everybody's home now, so every night for a couple hours it's on. So that's 16, you know, whatever, how many hours during the week. And then on the weekend, it's 8 to 10 hours Saturday and Sunday. So it's, you know, probably like 45, 50 hours a week the thing's running. 1,500 watts. So I Google, like, how much it would be. And bingo, it was the electric space heater that did it. So, but I was like, you gotta be shitting me. But yeah, my electric bill was $499 last month.
So yeah, I got my
space heater next.
I know. Well, yeah, Derek's talking about that because right now in my shop, I'm sitting next to my. I got my shit on 100. I got it on 1,500 watts too, baby. I'm cooking.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Only my right side though. I'm gonna have like a stroke only on my right side.
You need to get one of those little propane ones that go in the propane bottle. I just got one of those to like move around.
I have those. I just feel like they. I feel like it's killing me. I feel like when I use those inside, I'm dying. Yeah. I mean, because I got nowhere for the fumes to go. You got like 25 feet for all the horrible gases to go up. Speaking of fumes, I got a new tool that's coming that I ordered this week, but I didn't get yet, and that is one of those powered air welding hoods.
That's what I want to get. Which one did you get?
Yeah, I got the Lincoln one.
Oh, okay.
My friends at Lincoln Electric are sending me one, and I'm excited.
I didn't know they made one. Did they just come out or something?
It's just the same. It's like the Viking hood, just with the with the waistband and all the stuff. But what I've been thinking about was, 3M makes one, the VersaFlow, but 3M also sells just the hood separately because the whole system's like $1,800, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I'm thinking if I get the Lincoln welding one, and I buy the 3M clear shield for grinding on the belt grinder, I probably could use the same like waist belt, you know, like
a little hose adapter,
yeah, or whatever it is, because I feel like, because like obviously Lincoln doesn't make a clear one for grinding, it's, you know, they make a welding one, but I'm sure the concept's probably the same. And the VersaFlow hood without the gear is only like $225. So I'd be kind of nice to, like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, Paul, like you, I mean, you're 21. I wish I took better care of myself from 21 versus from 32. And, you know, Derek, I'm sure you've got the same story.
I'm on my
story.
Way out the door. So at this point, I might as well just inhale the shit.
Yeah, I need to get one.
What's amazing to me is, like, and I wish no ill on Jimmy. And I hope that this doesn't jinx him, but I'm watching him cutting on his freaking miter saw. In my shop, since I moved in 4 years ago, my miter saw has never not had a vacuum hooked up to it. Literally, the day I came in here, I put a vacuum on it. It's never been without a vacuum. Jimmy has never had a vacuum. No. He's got a freaking rag taped to the back of the saw so that the dust goes like down instead of off under the wall.
Into like the crevices.
Into the abyss.
It goes into
his
lungs.
Into his lungs.
How bad is wood dust getting into your lungs? Is it really bad for you?
I'm sure it's not good.
It depends on the type of wood, but some of like the hardwoods, like the South American woods, are really bad for you
because
of the oil in them. Like, and it just doesn't come
MDF.
Out.
Oh, MDF's got to be bad, right?
Yeah, it's
probably bad.
Yeah, right. MDF is so bad for you.
Yeah, all the toxic shit that's in there.
Yeah, formaldehyde. I mean, they say it's formaldehyde free, but it's like, what's the alternative to formaldehyde?
Yeah,
like
some
less
other type
lethal,
of chemical. It's probably worse.
Less. And I would bet you almost anything that there is a certain amount of formaldehyde in it, but there's underneath a level it's formaldehyde free, you know?
It's like the food factories that, like, they're allowed to have a certain amount of, like, bugs and shit in the food. Like, and it's still, you know. The food, I have a big issue with food in this country. Like, the way, you know, the stuff they're allowed to, like, produce. And there's all these, like, crazy laws and stuff that prevent people from even, like, filming or, like, exposing the way food's produced, or, like, these, you know, where they have, like, animals and stuff, and it's just terrible. It's really bad. I think that's where a lot of, like, cancer and disease comes from. It's just the toxic shit, the hormones, the pesticides, all the steroids and stuff that's in the meat and the vegetables, and it's, like, really terrible. I don't know.
But, I mean,
The problem is, though, it's, like, not to get political or anything, well, not political, but it just, that's why you can afford... Mm-hmm. Like food.
Yeah. Well, they should subsidize food instead of, you know, make it cheaper.
Now you're making it political.
Well, I'm saying just to so people have healthier food, because it'll probably save you money in the long run. If people are healthier, it's less money you got to spend on people's, you know, with diseases and shit.
Well, that's why they had a big thing I'd seen on TV one time about, you know, low-income people that are overweight and everything.
Yeah.
And they showed, like, how it's cheaper to go to McDonald's and get, like, a number four than to have a healthy dinner. You know, it is. It's sad. I mean, it is. It's just, I mean, I don't know how you fix it. But that's why, like, all these, you know, farmers, they get crushed by all these big chemical companies. Like, they have all the patents on all this, like, high yield food and all that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Monsanto is like notorious for that. Like that, anything that's like high growth, they have it. And it's just, you know, same thing with like the animals and stuff. You know, if you want, you know, fat chickens, you got to do something to make them fat.
Yeah, but it's disgusting what they're doing. It's like, it's so bad.
You got to start.
Well,
maybe I'm gonna start my political campaign.
Well, let me tell you this. So at my building in Jersey, right, we have a market that's part. Now we just finished building the cafe, right, and we needed an operator. And like most times, you'd go to like a big company. There's like a company called Sodexo. There's another company called Urest, and they're like big like cafe operators. They do like, you know, hospitals and corporate centers.
Yeah, so some of the best food out of those.
Hospital cafes. So through someone that was connected to the building, we got linked up with this place in Hopewell, New Jersey called the Brick Farm Group. So what it is it's a guy who made, I think he got bought out for $600 million from an algorithm that he made for trading foreign currency. That's like, if I remember correctly. Anyway, but he's got a shitload of money, this guy, and he's from New Jersey, and he, after he made his money, he was like, I guess he got interested in food and the quality of his food, and wanted better food for his family. So he bought a farm and started his own farm to produce food for himself and his family, then brought in business partners, and now he's got a farm, a sustainable farm in New Jersey. And they have a market that's kind of like the market section of a Whole Foods. And everything is grown literally within like 5 miles of where this place is.
Wow.
And it's to the point where like when we were about to sign the deal with him, he's like, well, let me take you guys on a tour. It was right before Thanksgiving. So he comes, picks us up at the building. He takes us past the market, literally on the same piece of property. And we go to where the turkeys are, and there's like 500 turkeys in a pen. And he's like, these are the turkeys for Thanksgiving. We're going to keep, you know, we keep 10%. These are going to get like slaughtered next week. Then he's like, let's go to the cattle farm. Then we go to where the cattle is. Then we go to where the pigs are. Then he brings us to the slaughterhouse. Like the whole thing.
It's not impossible. He's doing it right there.
But this place, I mean, I'm looking at this place, right? He's got brand new equipment. Brand new buildings. This guy spent money, dude. Is it profitable?
Kind of.
I mean, has he made back his, you know, I have to assume he's into it for upwards of $10 million. Has he made back his $10 million? Probably not. But he's got an incredible reputation in the area. I eat the burger from there, and like the burger doesn't taste like a regular cheeseburger.
Yeah,
you know, like
regular meat shit.
The other thing that I noticed too is that, like, I eat it way faster, and I eat fast when I'm driving because I'm just like shoveling food down my mouth.
you normally eat while you're driving?
I always eat while I'm driving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I'm always driving.
You're Starbucks.
So I'm always
you get the egg sandwich.
The
you get the coffee.
Yeah,
you're flying in a Sprinter.
I got my Dunkin'. So now that my cafe is finally open, I order lunch from there, and I just feel like. Like, normally when I would eat, like, a Panera lunch, by the time I get home, I feel like a bomb in my stomach.
Yeah.
And I feel really grossly full.
There's all this shit in it.
Well, this food, I eat it, and then by the time I get home, I'm like, shit, I'm still hungry. But I feel like it's because my body's probably able to process it better.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not one to really give a shit about my food, but Angela's lately been getting on me about, like, trying to, like, not die young.
Dude, have you seen the way they make the Panera shit?
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, dude,
but, dude, then I see this.
a plastic bag.
Plastic
bag.
Right?
It's frozen in a plastic bag. They have these big vats of water. Yeah. When you say, "Oh, give me the macaroni and cheese," like all my friends, like, "Oh, we love Panera." I went there. I'm like, "This is disgusting food."
Dude, Panera is just like slightly better than hospital food.
Yeah, dude, it's hospital food in like a green and brown like bag. Like that's what it is. I'm gonna rip into the Whole Foods and the Trader Joe's people in just a second. But the Panera bread, there's vats of water, and they take these little cryovac bags of whatever it is. It's in a bag, and they throw it into the water. They let it sit for 5 minutes. They cut open the bag, and they dump it into some bowl. And that's the food. It's like whatever's in that bag cannot be good.
What's funny is I Fresh, remember baby. As a kid. So, I mean, I remember when you go to McDonald's, and the guy's like flipping burgers on the griddle. You know, they used to cook them. They used to do that, Paul. They used to cook the hamburgers in McDonald's. Same with like Dunkin' Donuts.
You mean they didn't
right?
come out of a dispenser?
Yeah, yeah. So same with Dunkin' Donuts. They used to cook the donuts at the Dunkin' Donuts. You know, now they do them in the bakery. But I was telling somebody, and they're like, "Jesus Christ, you're old." I remember Dunkin' Donuts when they started making bagels and breakfast sandwiches. Everybody was pissed because they're like, "Oh, it's gonna take so long in line, blah blah blah." And they used to, they have down to a science. And you know what they used to do?
What?
They would take the egg, they'd crack it into a mug, they'd scramble it in a mug, and they'd put the mug in the microwave, cook it for like 30 seconds, take it out, shake it, put it back in, and it would scramble the egg. But it was like a fresh cooked egg right then and there.
Well, that's better than
nowadays
now.
Doing that? Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like these little hockey pucks of egg.
Yeah.
You
but
know?
They can't make any
some
money
plastic
if they
cheese
do it
on
that
the top.
Way.
I know.
Yeah. That's the problem. So it's we demand cheaper shit, just like everything else. I was going to say that during the snowblowers. It's like, you know, I got my old snowblower, and I look at it, and it's like rusty, and it's not falling apart, but it's rusty, and its days are numbered. I look at the new one. It looks beautiful, but half of it's fucking cheap shit plastic stuff that I'm like, the old one's so much better.
You know what, though?
Why 25 years later, it's still there. But it's like some asshole demanded, "I want a cheaper snowblower and I want it fucking better." It's like, okay, jerk off. This
With
is
better
how we're
stats.
Gonna make it better. Yep. Yeah. You know, and it's like they do it to satisfy us, and then it's like a vicious cycle.
But I think if you look at Europe,
there's
way stricter laws when it comes to food on what they're allowed to do and how they're allowed to treat animals and what chemicals they're allowed to use. It's a totally different ballgame.
Tell me about the food in Europe when you went to Make a Central.
Well, no, that was...
That's England. That's not
that's
Europe.
England.
It's very different.
Yeah, they can't cook over there. But when you go to Italy or France or something, or like Switzerland or Spain, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just them not knowing how to cook. But I bet the shit in that pizza probably wasn't as... even though it tasted toxic... You know, probably wasn't as bad as some of the shit you get over
okay,
here.
Okay, that's a bad example.
Well, that's why that pizza sucked so bad is because it was like a frozen pizza, but it didn't have all the chemicals in it that we have in like a DiGiorno.
I saw the box. It said made in USA.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine?
Came from Wisconsin.
But I do know that for a fact that the European, you know, the EU like has very strict regulations on food quality and stuff. And it's like you go to Starbucks. Like Starbucks is really expensive. Like you go to McDonald's isn't even that cheap anymore. Like the shit is expensive. You could probably go to a locally
well, like,
owned
you
place.
Eat a fresh egg? You
yeah,
eat a
all
fresh
the time.
Egg?
Who doesn't eat a fresh egg?
Everybody who buys them in a fucking
no,
store.
Meaning like an egg like, from a chicken.
Like
oh yeah, I've had
chicken.
Those. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You eat it, it looks different. And it fucking tastes.
Oh yeah, the
you
yolk
know?
Is a different
like,
color.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. It's like oh my god. It's like is this egg bad? You know, because it tastes so different, you know?
Yeah.
When I first got the chickens, it was the first thing I noticed. I was like, holy shit, like, this is a big difference. And then
it's amazing.
You know, eventually, like, you know, your chickens die and you get sick of taking care of them anyway, so you just give up and
you
gotta
use a deep litter method. You don't have a Carolina coop and you don't have the deep litter system.
No, I don't have the chickens at all, so I don't give a shit.
Oh, they're
no,
gone?
It's,
there's no more chickens?
They're gone. No more.
What did
no
you do? Shoot
chickens.
Them in the head.
They all just died, dude. Oh, they just died.
It's
but
what
they die. But I, you know what the big thing for me and like I know like you
this
guys
is the
are
best
food
making
people.
This is the best making podcast.
I know we're the best. I have no time to deal with food, dude. Today I woke up and I was like, I got to get to the shop. I got to get my day started. So I'm like, what am I gonna do? So even just like like calling the deli. going to get the deli food. I'm like, I don't even want to deal with that.
Oh,
so I just
my
go on my phone. I go right on the Dunkin' app. And I know Derek's on my side about this because I hear him getting his Dunkin' while we're on the phone sometimes in the morning when I'm going to Jersey.
What do you get from Dunkin' Donuts, Derek?
Oh, you got to get the I always get the same thing, the bacon wrap.
What the hell's in that?
The wake up wrap.
Yeah, the wake up wrap.
I used to get those, but now I've been getting I didn't realize that you could get an extra egg on your egg sandwich. So now I get like two eggs on an egg sandwich with cheese on an everything bagel because Angela's got me not eating bacon anymore.
Normally, I don't even eat breakfast, but if I do want to go to breakfast somewhere.
Whoa. What happened to the bacon?
My cholesterol's been high for years, and it's definitely higher than it normally is.
take a pill. Keep the bacon.
I know, right? Well, I only have bacon on the weekends. That's my, like, rule now for myself.
Well, hold on. Let me just interrupt one second. So there was a time when I didn't really want to, like, take time for the breakfast, but my thing is, even when I was working 75 hours a week, Sunday morning, there was a Forrester rule that if I was home, I was going to cook my kids breakfast.
Hmm.
And I've done it every Sunday as long as I can remember. Even if I get a million things to do, I always cook breakfast. The only difference now is nobody's fucking home.
You're cooking it for yourself.
I got to come stay at your house, dude. Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day.
I make breakfast sandwiches now, and I wrap them up, and I bring them to work, and I shouldn't be doing that. But I just always felt like, if I'm not going to be around, and when I did my kitchen over, that's why I took down the wall and put a counter there, because that was like my dream, was for my kids to sit there and for me to cook breakfast for them. And I got
that's
to do
nice.
It. It wasn't for a long time. Yeah, it was. It used to be so much fun, and it's funny because, you know, typical Derek just, you know, over the top and everything's a tragedy. I would sit there saying, I got a fucking million things to do. And, you know, everybody says, oh, you're going to miss those days. And now I'd kill to, you know, have my kids here, you know, make them breakfast. But it's like, you know, it is nice, you know. And it's like, you'll slow down. It'll first start with, okay, I got to put the bottle, heat the bottle up for 45 seconds. And then it's going to be, you know, then it's the breakfast. And
oh,
it's
I
like,
know.
You know, it changes, you know.
Yep.
Because that's how before I was. I never used to even eat breakfast. I could care less.
Chris
you know?
Is going to have his 2-year-old in the car seat. He's going to be pulling through the Starbucks. He's gonna be saying to his kid, you want the croissant heated or you want it regular? Like, that's what he's going to be saying.
Mama said no croissants.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Angela's going to be like, Chris, what did you give Chris Jr.?
I got him a
Crunchwrap Supreme at Taco Bell.
During the beginning of the pandemic, there was a time when I used to make myself a breakfast and a smoothie every single day before I would go to work.
What would you make for breakfast? What was your go-to?
I actually, and you know, I don't know how this is going to go over, but I really like refried beans. So I would make like kind of a Mexican omelet in the morning. So I'd make eggs with like a Mexican blend of cheese with refried beans in a tortilla. Every day, and I would make a smoothie. And now it's like, I just can't imagine even having the time to do it.
Oh.
But I guess, you know, I can't really say shit because I work from home, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, dude, now my newest thing is now I realized I can order an egg sandwich from the bagel place on DoorDash.
I'm
in bed at, like, you know, 6:45, and I'm like, you know, it's 45 minutes usually to get something from the bagel place because they're so busy around here.
Yeah,
so I'm like, fuck it. So I go on the DoorDash. I got the Dash Pass now, so I don't pay any more delivery fees.
Oh, wow.
And I order my breakfast. I get them. They make me a coffee. I get the egg sandwich. It comes right to the door. It's the best.
It's the best. Nice.
I'm such a lazy piece of shit. I'll spend $13 on breakfast just to make the minimum,
so that
I don't have to leave my house.
It's funny, though. That's why, like, the Dunkin' Donuts app, like, that's the best invention. Any asshole that goes into I'm going to put this out there. If you go to Dunkin' Donuts and you don't use the app, you are a complete asshole.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best thing, especially nowadays. It's like there's people waiting. I'm like, why are you fucking waiting?
I know.
Like, you just walk in. You don't even have to talk to anybody.
Yep.
You walk in, you take your thing, you leave. I love it. I wish, like, that's the best thing that happened with COVID is, like, the non-social part. Like, for me, it's like, you know, like the pizza place for us now, we gotta go in and pick up our pizza, and I'm like, oh man. But before, it was like, text us when you're here and we bring it out. It's like they're like, pop the trunk, we put it in the trunk. It's like beautiful. It's
is
great. It is. No, but the Dunkin' thing, I think they make it so easy. And it is really super easy. And I'm like, it's just crazy. Like, you don't have to wait. Who wants to stand in line even before COVID? Mm-hmm. Like, you really, especially in the morning, people want to talk to you. It's like, leave me alone. It's like, just get my shit and get out of here.
Dude, yesterday I went to Dunkin'. There was 9 people standing online, people waiting outside. I walked in. I was the only mobile order. I walked in. I looked at everybody. I looked at my food. I took it and I left. And I know everybody there was like, motherfucker.
The best is I'm in the Sawmill Parkway there, and they got 2 Dunkin' Donuts, one on the like north and one on south or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I pull up. There's a line out the door. So I order ahead. I just like walk past everybody. I'm like, F you, man.
Wow.
My order's not there. So I wait. I go, the guy says, where's my online order? He goes, we don't have any pending.
Oh, my
God. I go,
God.
Mine's right here. He goes, that's the southbound side.
Oh, it's like, God.
Oh, you gotta be sure. Dude, they were so nice. They made it for me. They didn't charge me and everything. So there was a whole mail thing.
Wow. I would have ran across the highway.
Nah, screw that. I'm too old for that.
Every day, senior year, before I would go to school, you go to the Country Cow. If you're from Fairfield, you know about the Country Cow. It's best.
Yeah, we went to the Country Cow. It was fantastic.
They sell shirts that say, I graze at the cow. But the Country Cow is the best. And they get the Bagel King. They get the... Listen, this is not even in the same stratosphere as the Milk Run.
No, you just say, I graze at the
a t-shirt for the Milk Run. Yeah. But you get the Bagel King bagel. They got the best bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. You get it even on a Portuguese roll from Chavez Bakery, or you get it on the Bagel King bagel, and that's the only way to do it. And then I used to get a toasted corn muffin with butter on the side, and they'd cut it into 3 pieces, and then they'd put more butter in because you have 3 pieces now instead of just 2 on the muffin. That's how you do it. And then you could get an orange juice or a Snapple maybe. No, I get the orange juice from Bagel King when I go direct to Bagel King. But then I get the Snapple with the Country Cow.
See, now I haven't eaten anything since like 9:30 this morning. So now all I want is like an egg sandwich. Like
I would
kill for
an
egg sandwich.
Little sriracha.
There's a bagel place by my house that makes incredible bagels, and every time I get one, I'm always like, shit, I should have just gotten a second one, and I would just
eat it later today.
You know.
What kind of bagel do you like?
Everything bagel.
You
gotta get an
I never
everything
get
bagel.
Everything bagels. I need to get one. I don't know why. I think it's
everything's the best. The only way
I get
to go.
Salt from Bagel King. I'll get a salt bagel or an onion
salt
bagel.
Salt is an excellent choice.
But you got to get the right salt because
is it warm and everything and soft? The salt bagel.
If you get them hot out of the oven or you know they boil them and then put them in the oven, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love a bagel.
Yeah, I
want
a bagel right now.
Just pulled the ear thing out of my ear.
Oh. Like if it wasn't snowing, I would go to Dunkin' and get a bagel just because I wanted
right
to.
Now,
those
how many,
bagels.
How many listeners do you think we have left right now?
Well, let's see. We're 46 minutes in and all we've been talking about
is snowblowers and then food.
Snowblowers and food. I talked about respiratory health for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, we could talk about
What about your new tool?
Me?
Yeah. I saw you with a table saw today.
Yeah.
A couple new tools.
Didn't you have the with the
I got the mag drill.
Yeah, that last week?
I mentioned that I was getting it, but now that I have it, Paul, you gotta get one of these things, dude.
Oh God.
You just gotta get one of these things.
It's funny because Matt
everything now.
Matt was Matt's boss is like pretty up with it, like you know they got the Python there, like, but I also feel like he's also pretty old school. I mean, he's like an old iron worker. Matt, I guess, was showing him the cordless one and he was like, holy shit, because Matt was saying when they do extensions on buildings, you know, they got to be up on a ladder drilling holes like all day, and this thing on the box it says it'll do 40 15/16 holes on 1 5 amp hour battery charge.
Wow.
That's a lot of holes.
That's a lot,
40 almost 1-inch holes.
Yeah, that's true. Those are big holes.
On a 5-amp-hour battery.
And how thick a material?
I don't know.
Huh.
I'll look it up right now. But anyway, it's super nice.
You were saying you could fit a bigger battery in there. You took the thing out and you could put a 9.
Yeah, so the newer version of it, this one, the guy bought it in 2015.
Oh, okay.
And the batteries had never been used to the point where they wouldn't charge. And I had to like jump start them. Lucas told me how.
Hmm.
But so then in 2015, they didn't have the big batteries. So I had to take out this piece of rubber. But the new model, like if you were to go and order it brand new right now, the battery cage is bigger. So it'll fit the 12-hour batteries if you really wanted to.
See, that's nice to have out in the field. Like, out in the field, that's great.
Yeah, like, but I can put the 9 amp hour batteries in it now as it is, and mm-hmm. like, but dude, the magnet is so, so strong.
Yeah,
like, it's got to
like
be stronger than the, yeah, it's got to be stronger than the electromagnet on the Evolution.
It could
There's
be.
No way.
Well, yeah,
that
I don't know
isn't.
What the Evolution's like. I mean,
yeah, the Evolution's also, the Evolution.
How much does that
like,
Evolution cost? $400
$650 brand new.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it can't be too crazy strong, you know?
Yeah, no, it can't be. I mean, you know, I have to imagine that the cost of an electromagnet, you know, like goes up exponentially as you, you know, add
strength. Yeah, the magnets force, get expensive.
You know?
Any type of magnet stuff is expensive.
Yeah, but anyway, I love my new cordless magnetic drill. I'm really excited about it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that thing's nice. I like the quick change thing too.
Yeah, that's super nice. The quick change the quick change chuck. I don't know of another mag drill that has that.
I've never seen
that.
I think some of the newer ones do.
Mm.
I don't know. But
yeah. Yeah, so basically what it has is yeah, basically what it has is it has a little like bayonet mount for the chuck and for the annular cutters, which is really cool, and it's really fast. Yeah, so this will do, what does this say? This will do, with a 9 amp hour battery, it'll do 13 16th holes through quarter inch steel.
Hmm.
76. And it has 1600 pounds of holding force on quarter inch steel. That's
1600 pounds on quarter inch steel.
Yeah,
that's
and 2,000 pounds on 1-inch steel.
That's better than the freaking lifting magnet that I got from Mag Switch
yeah.
or whatever. That's great. Well, yeah, that is better than that. Wow.
But that's what, dude, this thing is $2,700 brand new.
That is expensive, yeah.
You know, like, that's why I think it's so expensive, because it's not a complicated tool. All it is a freaking, it's a two-speed drill on a dovetail. You know, like, it's not like a special thing. I think the
yeah,
magnet
like my
is
Hogan
really
one is like $900.
Yeah.
But that thing is like a freaking tank. Everything's
yeah.
metal. Like, but that's perfect
mm-hmm.
for in a shop. But then for out in the field, like that Milwaukee
yeah.
one would be great, because you don't want to have to deal with cords. You already got enough to deal with that thing. It's already
mm-hmm.
heavy enough, and a
yeah.
cord would kind of be a pain in the ass. Like, you're right. If you were up high drilling something, or
mm-hmm.
I mean, that is definitely pretty
yeah.
cool. It is pricey, but it could be worth it if you use it a lot.
100%. And I mean, like, obviously there's always a way to like get it. Like, there's one on eBay right now. I was actually going to post it on my Instagram, because so many people hit me up when I posted about it. There's one on eBay right now for like $1,300 or best offer with two batteries from a pawn shop somewhere. So like, if I was in the market, like, I'd just offer them $1,000 and see if I could get it, you know what I mean? And it'd be worth $1,000 all day.
Yeah,
you know. And, you know, what's nice about it, too, is, like, from a safety perspective, if you really, like, think about it, right? Like, if you got an electromag drill in a shop and it's horizontal and somebody, like, kicks out the cord or whatever, your power goes out, or let's say you're working on a job site and your generator runs out of gas and you
yeah.
got a mag drill up on a beam.
It is kind of crazy.
Like, that mag drill is going to fall.
That's
this
why they
thing
have those,
will always
those
hold.
Safety chains for them. That's why you do, but no one uses those. Who's going to deal with a chain, you know? Especially
mm-hmm.
when you're in a shop, you're never going to be using a chain. But I always do get nervous about that, like, leaving the mag drill, like, up on top of a beam, even on sawhorses, and then you have
yeah.
the cord on the ground. It's like, if someone trips on the cord, there goes your $1,000 drill, like, smashing
yeah.
onto the concrete. So
it yeah, is kind of nice what's
having
nice.
That manual magnet.
Yeah, I mean,
know?
The only thing I will say from a negative standpoint on it, though, is that the electromagnet, when you get yourself set, you just flip that switch, the drill doesn't move.
That's
this
thing.
You gotta like turn this thing, and it depending on somebody, actually there were some guys commenting on it on my Instagram. One guy was saying that he felt that it was really hard to turn the knob, and another guy wrote that it actually, depending on the thickness of the steel is how hard it is to turn the knob. So if you grab it on, like, because I noticed when I first took it out of the case, because I bought it from this guy like in a freaking parking lot, I turned the knob and it was really hard to turn, and I was like, fuck, I hope this thing isn't like broken. You know, it looks brand new, but I just hope it's not broken. And when I put it on the table and it actually had some metal to magnet to, I think the magnet has an easier time, I guess, you know, traveling wherever, whichever.
It's like attracted to the thicker steel.
Exactly. So like, but you know, it's not the same as like an electromagnet where when I was tapping and drilling my table, I was setting it perfect and I was just flipping a switch and the thing wasn't going to move at all.
Yeah. What you're going to have to do is probably just bring the drill bit down and have the pilot in your, you know, your center punch mm-hmm. mark, and just have yeah. it locked into that center punch mark, and then twist it so you don't, you know, have any chance of moving it, because that would kind yeah. of be a pain in the ass. Like,
yeah,
like that.
That's
would be
the only
annoying.
Thing about it that I'm like, eh. And the other thing is it doesn't have as, you know, it's only got it. It doesn't have as big of a capacity because the magnet is much bigger, and it's not going to be as easy for me to tap with it the way that I tap with the Electro one. But it does have two speeds where the other I had only had one speed. So it's got 600 and 400 RPMs. It's got a light, which is super nice. I think, Paul, if you used this thing for like a day that you had to do a lot of mag drilling, you'd be like, you'd be sold.
Or especially to keep on like a truck. And then
on
leave
a truck,
the other one
yeah.
in the shop, and then keep this one in the truck with batteries, you know?
Yeah.
That would
I
be
think
nice.
Fine makes a battery-powered one, too.
I think
also,
they do.
Which is probably super nice also. But, you know, it's like you have to have Fine batteries.
That's the thing.
You know, which, you know, maybe you already have, which Fine makes great grinders and all that stuff. But it's like, you know, it's not going to be as convenient as, like, having Milwaukee batteries that you can just, like, they're
almost
so freaking cheap.
Almost everybody has
you can
Milwaukee batteries.
Yeah, and if you wound up in a pinch where you were like, oh, shit, you know, we got to go to a job and, you know, so-and-so forgot the batteries, you just go to Home Depot and buy batteries. Wow, the Fine is $1,000 cheaper.
Wow. I'd love to see
the Fine is. Yeah. The Fine is $1,700, and does that come with two batteries?
Wow.
$1,700? Because that would be
I may have to go with the Fine.
Yeah,
that
dude, that comes with.
Expensive.
Yeah, that comes with two batteries. Wow. That's Wow, that's
Fine. Fine's big on the mag drills too. The Fine Slugger, you know,
yeah.
mag drills.
Yeah, oh yeah. This
they
thing
make a lot more mag drills than
some
Milwaukee.
Nice,
huh?
That's right. This thing's got some nice features too, Paul. This thing's got different speeds. This might be the one.
I wonder why Milwaukee's is so expensive. That's crazy.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder. I guess. Nah, dude. This says it's got 2,000 pounds of holding force.
Wow.
I mean, it's. Huh. Interesting. I don't know. I mean, right. It's definitely cool.
Next.
Mag drills,
next,
you know?
Next, you're done with mag drills, Derek?
I'm done with mag drills.
Next.
Want to hear about my terrain park in my backyard?
Oh, I saw that.
Sure. Do you like that?
Did you make that rail? Or did you buy that?
I made it. I had some, like, 3-inch schedule 40. But half of it was buried. You couldn't even see it. But I had, like, a little, you know, where you start it, and it, like, there's, like, an angle, and then I made little feet mm-hmm. for it and stuff. But
yeah.
I got no friends here to go skiing with me. They're all at college, you know, pains in the asses.
Freaking losers.
I got no one to go skiing with, so I got to go in my own backyard.
That's fun, though. You know who's been going out a lot? Macklin just bought these skis that he can hike with. He bought these skis where the binding, like, unhooks in the back so that you can kind of walk with them.
And then you put things on the – you put, like, a thing on the bottom of the ski. It's almost like – fur or something. It's like it grips the snow in one direction, then you could slide your ski forward, and then you mm-hmm. take them off and ski down. It's like for backcountry skiing. A lot of guys do it. Like, they'll hike up some mountain in Colorado and then just ski down and then die in an avalanche.
Well, that's so he went up to a Scutney, which is actually right near where we went to the Museum of Precision.
Oh, really?
And that's where Angela and I just went there in October, and he went up there by himself. Then he hiked, he hiked an abandoned ski mountain up there to the top where the ski lifts are still there.
Whoa.
He was completely alone and he skied down and he texts me a photo. He's like, dude, honestly, it's pretty scary up here by yourself because you hear stuff moving around. You hear stuff like, you know, I guess like you hear the cables probably like banging into each other and shit. But yeah, no, he's been really into it. So maybe you and him could like meet up in Vermont because he's going by himself too.
Nah, I don't go. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
I would prefer to ride a lift up, you know, with ski patrol. Like,
I mean,
look
he probably would
friend.
Do that though. Well, that's true.
Do you ski at all, Chris or Derek? Do you guys ski?
I snowboard.
I
snowboard.
Used to ski.
Yeah, Angela and I really want to go. She's been talking about how
well,
she wants
go.
To go this year, so we should go. But I want to go somewhere good. Like, I want to go to Vermont. Like, I don't want to go to like Hunter. You know, you go to Wyndham and, like, you know, ski down a hill.
I got ski sundown's the, like, Connecticut one. It's like ski sundown and then Mohawk, which are, like, basically hills, you know?
Yeah.
But I think Mohawk actually invented, like, making snow, like the snowmaking machines.
Interesting.
Out of all places, Connecticut invents, you know, the machines that, make snow. Isn't that weird?
I could see that, though. I mean, yeah. You know, that's like how we have an indoor ski mountain and an indoor
Jersey,
wave pool,
right?
In New Jersey.
I want to go to that ski place in Jersey.
Yeah, I know. But it's like... I want to try the wave thing. I've never tried to surf.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be fun.
Who was just there? Andrew Schultz? Was he there?
Yeah. And Macklin and I are making that 2x4 surfboard.
Oh,
I was like,
right.
Yo, I wonder if I hit them up. Because they're obviously doing like a huge social media push. They had like all these like famous people go out there. You know, who else was there too? Action Bronson was there the day before Andrew Schultz was there.
He's
yeah,
funny.
Learning how to boogie board. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe when it's done, I can hit him up and be like, yo, I made a surfboard out of 2x4s. I'll like give it to you guys, you know, but like, let me come out and, you know, like shoot a video. I mean, shit. At this point, if they're starting out, it probably wouldn't hurt them. And what would it really cost them to have me come out for a day and play around in the wave pool?
Did you see Kelly Slater's surf camp?
Yeah, his
thing?
Is sick, though.
Dude, it costs like $5,000 a wave or something
a wave.
Obscene.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars per wave. Casey Neistat went there, and they're like, listen, Casey, you only have 3 shots at this because each shot is like thousands of dollars. Each wave is so expensive. You only get like
$100
a
second. $100
oh
a second.
Oh, God. Wow. That's that's.
But his is like sick, though, dude. His makes the one
crazy.
In Jersey look like a kiddie pool.
Oh, the one in Jersey is like my bathtub compared to that one. That one's like, you know, hundreds of feet long. It's outside. The wave is like way bigger.
It's a real wave.
But it's almost so expensive. It's like, is there even enough money in surfing for like pro surfers to go there and like pay for that? Like,
I think Kelly Slater makes a lot of money.
Oh,
I think
he does.
A lot of
those
dudes have made a lot of money, but
that's
I don't think
lot.
It's like skateboarding though, because skateboarding is like so part of like the mainstream culture now, you know?
Yeah.
Versus surfing is like, you know, people like it, but I also feel like it's something that's so unique and difficult to do. Like, I don't know. Think about everyone in the middle of the country that doesn't give a shit about surfing but could skateboard, you know?
Yeah. Like, but it's something like I could see like the NFL spending $100 a second or thousands of dollars per something, or the NBA, like, you know, but surfer, like, it's just some surf pro surfer, you know, I'm sure he's amazing, like, going to be able to spend $15,000 for a day at this place, like, to train. It's kind of a lot of money.
Yeah, no, you need like Billabong to like sponsor that day or something like that. But anyway, what have you guys been watching? You guys got anything good on the watch list? Let's wrap this up.
You know what's funny? I watched a video this morning. I was gonna send it to you guys, and I'm trying to find the name of it. It's David Ireland. I don't know if it's. I only watched one video. It was
Ireland, like the country.
Yes, and it's a handmade violin.
Stradivarius.
I think he's dead, but it's unbelievable to watch this guy make this thing.
Is this the varnish video?
It's
wow, he's got like a whole. Oh yeah, he carves this thing with like hand chisels. Oh
yeah,
Jesus Christ!
He makes a complete violin. All like he uses these tiny little hand planes. I've seen them before, like the Lee Nelson ones. It's unbelievable. Like it's the most beautiful violin in the end, and this guy just no power tools, nothing. It's amazing to watch how he does it. And the video I saw, it was you know what, shit, hold on, it might be the one before that one.
Well, I found his channel.
Yeah.
I'll link his whole channel in the thing.
I think it was one before that. It brought me to him because he repairs all the violins, that guy. But this other one, it was. Let me see what this channel is, because I don't want to recommend it if it's a. Yeah, I'm not going to recommend this one. Watch that guy fix the violins.
All right, David Ireland.
Yeah, it's all violin repair, but it was pretty interesting to see how they did it. Like, just like repair, making the keys and stuff like that, or whatever you call it. It's unbelievable. Like, these people, like, they're, like, true craftsmen, and it's, like the shops, like, they have tons of tools, but, like, they use, like, the basic of shit, like, to repair all these old violins and everything. It was just unbelievable to watch, like, how he was doing it. And, that was it. I wish I had some skills like that.
Yeah, I actually had my friend who's a professional guitar player came by the other night. He needed help fixing a guitar for one of his students. And him and I have talked about making a guitar before. And I want to make one on the Tormach. But there's like so much to it. I just feel like it'd be fun to do. I want to do something real different, though. He's got a guitar that's all aluminum. And I don't know if it's welded aluminum or if it's out of a solid block. But I was like, that might be cool to make one out of a big-ass plate and do it all on the CNC and then polish the shit out of it. Like, that would be fun, you know?
Make one out of steel.
Yeah, you could do one of those.
I could make one out of steel. I could make one out of an AK-47. You know? So Paul, what have you been watching?
Well, first, I don't know. I watched the Fleetwood Mac concert that my mother's been making me watch. Or she's been begging me to watch. And I love Fleetwood Mac. I don't know why. I just haven't watched it with her. So I finally watched it with her. That was really good. But as far as like things people listening to this podcast would probably be, you know, kind of interested in, I was telling Derek before, I'm obsessed with tractors all of a sudden. And I've been watching videos on tractors. Kubota.
Oh, like
John
a Kubota,
Deere.
Right?
Yeah. I used to, a while ago when I was little, I always wanted one. Now I want one again because it snowed out and I want to be able to make piles of snow and then ski down them. I don't know what is wrong with me, but.
Dude, you're only young once. Do it.
I know. So now I'm obsessed with the tractor. I really want a tractor. But I was watching this channel, I think it's called Good Works Tractors. And he buys, like, John Deere and Kubota tractors and sells them and, like, explains all the different stuff about them and teaches you about them and stuff. So that was pretty cool, but I don't know. That's what
my
I could
buddy
come up
watches,
with.
My buddy watches a guy that just does tractor stuff.
I mean, how great is a tractor, though? You know?
Yeah.
I really want one.
Paul. I remember my kids always
how great is a tractor?
My father-in-law's.
Yeah. You know. A nice tractor, a nice farm. I'm always torn between what I want to live on the water and have boats and stuff, or what I want to live on a farm and just like do farming type shit. And I think
you need an aqua farm. You need a farm with water.
Well, that would be nice. Yeah, that would be nice. That's real expensive. It's hard to get 10 acres on the water anywhere around here.
Like at Jimmy Smiley's, he's got all those tractors, and then he has like the pond with the two jet skis right out front of the house. Did you ever see that? He's got fucking two jet skis.
I would do shit like that. I just want to have fun. I want to do any type
of fun. Dude,
there
was a house.
What's that?
No, go ahead, Paul.
I told my mother, I'm like, listen, if I have a big enough piece of property, I'm buying a tractor and I'm going to dig out a pond. And then I'm going to put one of those wakeboard cable things in there and wakeboard all around. I'm just going to do nothing but fun. Like, Mike, if I have kids, they're going to have so much fun.
Yep.
You have no idea.
There was a house up in New Hampshire that I was looking at right near Lucas's. It was like $800,000. It was on like 30 acres. It had a pond. It had like three outbuildings. Derek, I think I sent it to you. It was like the dream. It was like the perfect property for like me to buy because you could literally have a shop and then a shop that you rented to someone else to make income. That's how like big this piece of property was. And it had a big ass man-made pond, and I sent it to Angela. I'm like, this is it. This is the one. 40 minutes from Boston.
I'm not living in New Hampshire, she said.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. She's like, I mean, listen, it was only 45 minutes from, only 45 minutes from Boston.
That's
so it's like, you could live there.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like she commutes 45 minutes to New York City every day.
Yeah.
So like what would be 45 minutes to Boston to get it, you know, to work in Boston.
That's true.
You know, I'm not it's not that easy of a sell.
Listen, you're not in charge.
I got to get myself in a position where I've got an offer I can't refuse for a job in Massachusetts for like a shitload of money, and then I can just move. Then I can convince her to move. You know? I don't know. I got to figure something out, but I'll give you guys my watch of the week. I'm actually going to, circle this one back to our good friend James DeResta over there. Cause I got to say, Jimmy's done some impressive shit. That's really creative, but I really enjoyed the new dished out cutting board.
I know,
I thought he did such a good job on it. Paul, did you watch
the
way
he
did that?
That.
he hooked up his like ArborTech carver to the table with an arc and then made like a spinny jig for the cutting board mounted on an anvil, and he's got Aaron running a drill to spin the thing.
I gotta watch it now.
And it's like, obviously he could have done it with the CNC, but like to do it with like the, you know, the caveman way, I thought was so great.
It's so funny because I'm watching it, having my breakfast sandwich this morning, and I says to Christina, I go, fucking Jimmy had no idea what to put a video up with. So he's like, you know what? I'll make a cutting board, but I'm going to dish it out so fucking crazy.
In the most dangerous way
like,
possible.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he fucking takes a cutting board and he just does the most dangerous like shit with it. And it came out so cool. It really did. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Listen, that's like, why he's got laughing. The... He makes the big bucks. That's why he's got all the subscribers.
That's right.
Listen, he's got this. He's got the creativity to back it up.
That's right.
Like, I really enjoyed his truck videos, restoring that truck and painting it. He knows what he's doing with like body work and painting and stuff. Like I'm terrible at painting. Like he must have painted a lot of cars back in the day.
He's trying to do more of them. He's gonna try to do more. They're very well received. So
I like
More cars and shit.
Yeah, just a couple things. I think he's mentioned it, but yeah, he's gonna do a couple things. So
nice.
Yeah, I got it.
If I had the space, Macklin was just I'm in a group chat with Macklin, another one of my friends, and he's like, oh man, like he wants to convert. He's got a 2-wheel drive Tacoma. He's like, oh, like I've been watching these guys, like they buy a wrecked Tacoma and they just take the front diff out and like put it in. He's like, oh, you know, like he's like, you think it might be worth doing? And I was like, dude, you don't have a garage or even a driveway to work in. Like if you've got a garage, yeah, sure, buy a wrecked car for $1,000 and tinker with it. But if you don't have a place to work on it, that's why I sold the old Ford, because it's like, even if I had all the money in the world to do it myself, because I would want to do it myself, like because I was going to make content restoring that. It's like, if I had a garage where it could sit on a lift and I could, you know, even doing the electric fuel injector was like, you know, I'm watching a video of a guy doing it. He's like, you can get it done in a day. And I'm like, on a lift, not me on the ground on a piece of freaking cardboard in my driveway ain't getting it done in a day, you know?
That's like one of the biggest mistakes, having a house without a garage, because that's like Max always hounding me growing up. Dad, can we do this over? Can we do this over? Oh, we can do it in the driveway. It's like, no, you can't. You can't do it in the driveway. It sucks.
You know what? If you have a big enough garage, those lifts are cheap. Like, car lifts aren't that expensive.
Buddy of mine's got two.
Yeah. Like, I would get one.
They have the ones for, like, storage. That's what my buddy's got, two of them. He uses them to work on his cars, but they're technically made for storage.
Yeah.
You just drive on them and they pick them up.
Yeah.
But short money. You buy them used real cheap.
Yeah. Matt's been wanting to get one for outside their shop. They want to put one actually in their driveway, but they want like a big one. I think
10,000 pound or 12,000 pound
I think they wanted, like a 10,000 pound one. And then he's like, you know, at that point, you know, you might as well just buy a brand new one. I think he said it's like $4,000 for the one that they want.
Yeah, they're not that
expensive. Yeah, they're not a lot of money.
I'm like, dude, for $4,000, it's like, I mean, they work on cars. Like, Matt's cars, you know, he's got a old Buick that he's working on.
Oh, really?
Probably on stilts for a while. Yeah, he's got an old G-body wagon, like a sleeper with like some sort of high horsepower engine in it. I don't know. I don't know anything about that shit. But, you know. I like working on cars. I would love to have the space one day, you know, when I build my 5,000 square foot shop somewhere.
Again, if anybody has any old 50s pickup trucks, let me know.
I got to talk to my neighbor.
Oh, see what that is.
Because he would, I mean, the guy doesn't need the money, but I mean, it's literally just rotting away.
Years.
Yeah, he might get rid of it.
One in Boston, like early 60s, like a, what's it, like a C10 or whatever? But it's in a horrible part of Boston.
Yeah.
I would knock on a door.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Leave your phone number.
I don't even know if I want to get out to leave my phone number.
Right. That might be, it's a bait call.
Yeah. Knock.
Yeah.
Pizza guys are knock.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to this fantastic episode of the Handmade Podcast. If you guys haven't, go and listen to Jeff's new episode of Full Blast with Pat Quinn from the Center for Metal Arts. It was a very interesting conversation, and I learned a lot about that place that I didn't know. I think we should take a field trip to the Center for Metal Arts.
That guy is incredible, the stuff that guy makes.
and the story of like how he wound up in that place and like what his deal is there. It's really interesting, so it's definitely worth listening to. And I'm gonna give myself a shameless plug here. So I've been posting on my Patreon in what I'm calling the Make Everything Machinery Deal Hub.
Oh shit! I gotta sign up for that. I forgot to, dude. My credit cards, my credit cards get stored in the garage. So I was in bed, I'm like, I need to get all the numbers washed off. Dude, I can't even read them anymore. I need to go get my credit card to sign up for it. I mean, then I gotta use a glove to get the credit card, you know.
So what I've been doing is, like, every time I find a deal on a machine anywhere, I've been actually trying harder to look outside of, like, the East Coast, because obviously there are patrons all over the place. Like, one guy I know is from Arizona, another guy in California, so... Whenever I find a deal, I just screenshot it and I put it on the Patreon, and I always list the state that it's in. So if you're a patron and you're in Ohio, you're not wasting your time looking at shit that's in, you know, Florida. But it's been cool. People have actually been sending me links to stuff to post on it. People have been commenting on the stuff I've been posting, which is kind of like a nice little community of people that I can like share deals with that, you know, are specifically looking for them. So if you're interested in having access to my sickness of looking at Craigslist, Facebook, OfferUp. I mean, Derek and Paul know I send them fucking tools to buy all the time.
Paul
doesn't even respond. The last thing I sent Paul, I just sent you, Paul. I think I sent it to you on Facebook too. A guy's got a big fume extractor, like a metal shop, you know, welding fume extractor.
This was as we were doing the podcast. You found this.
Yes. I just sent you.
Next to it.
The guy wants $500, you know, and I don't know if it's, you know, who knows? It might not be worth it, but I know those fume extractors aren't cheap, and if you need one for in your shop, boom, there you go. So, yeah, sign up for the Make Everything Machinery Deal Hub at patreon.com/makeeverything.
You should start your own website where people post, like, actually make their own posts, and then you charge like a little fee. You charge a little fee.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's what you got to do. See? How do you do that? Yes. How do you make, like,
you can make a forum. I can make my own forum.
Yeah, that could be
and
big.
And you could just make it a paid membership, you know?
Make everything
the
machines.
Deal Hub.
Do it. A group on Facebook.
But can I make people pay for that?
You got to monetize.
Yeah,
really?
You can make people pay.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I think there's a couple.
Maybe what I'll do
has a YouTube channel.
Yeah. Maybe what I'll do is I'll do a Patreon and I'll have a closed Facebook group that I'll let people into once they join the Patreon. I think that might be a good way, because Patreon's like, I feel like Patreon's kind of good. They deal with the tax stuff and everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's been cool. I posted something and a guy specifically hit me up to say like, oh, that's a great deal and I'd love to get a deal like that. I'm in, you know, Tucson, Arizona. And so I started looking in Arizona. You know, I mean, think about the shit we find at auctions like all over the country, you know? So I just feel like if I can help somebody, I don't know.
Now that you mention that, I just bid on some shit at an auction.
Oh boy.
Stuart Young sent me some stuff and I bid on a huge air compressor, right? It was only at like $25, so I put $50 in. I'm like, if I get it, I'll find the room for $50. And the other thing was,
where? In Boston?
It's in Bell Wrecker. I forget what the other thing was. I'm like, they'll email me if I win it. I don't give a shit.
Was it on IRS auctions?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they that's where I got my table saw. They do a Bell Wrecker, they do a big woodworking auction.
I got anything from them.
Yeah, they're a really good source for woodworking stuff. Oh yeah, I see the auction now. It ends in 2 days.
Yeah.
Dude, I got my saw stop for $900 through that auction.
Wow.
You know,
and that was the big industrial one too, right?
Yeah, $6,000 that saw is brand new.
Wow.
And I have a second one that's going to be for sale soon. If anyone's looking for a saw stop, but you got to have three phase. That's the only problem. They're a little
run
tricky.
Run off a phase converter or no?
No, they say it won't. I mean, I don't know that anyone's even had the balls to try it because, like,
well,
you know, they're so sensitive.
Run off a rotary phase converter, just not like one of those little ship bot, like little ones you get from Northern Tool that I.
They
that
say it
fire.
Won't. Yeah, they say it won't. They say
really?
it has to get real three phase. But I mean, how the fuck?
I thought rotary
know?
Phase converters or that's the whole point of them is they make, you know, legit three phase because they're
yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I'm sure they
I don't know.
Know.
I mean, Jimmy had his 5-horsepower saw stop for, like, what, 2 years? He's never plugged it in because he never had three-phase. And then he got the converter from American Rotary, and they told him, like, don't do it. So, I don't know. Anyway, Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week. Maybe we'll have a guest next week. I feel like we should have a guest next week.
Yeah, who should we have?
I don't know. What do you think?
Let the viewers decide. Who do they want?
Let the viewers decide. Send us a message on the Handmade Podcast Instagram, and we'll read it in 4 weeks. Because no one ever goes on the Handmade Podcast Instagram. Oh, shit. I actually had something I wanted to post there today. All right. Good night, guys.
Thank you.
If you like this show, take a look at our other shows made for makers just like you at www.makery.network.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.